you've tuned in to 96.7 on your FM dial. This is Hugh Cruzell, and the program is QOL, Quality of Life. You know, there are so many things that can affect your quality of life. I mean, we talk about food, drink. We talk about, well, walking in the woods. We talk about the people you meet, the people you interact with, the family members that you have, the happiness that perhaps you find in conversation with friends. I'm going to go a slightly different direction today. Something very personal, something very individual, maybe that's a better way of describing it. An experiential, well, Marcel Petruzzelli, you have to tell me, seriously, what is it that you do, what you deliver? I think the audience will be fascinated. Tell us where you are for starts.
Well, we are a spa. We're called Float House. I'm the general manager of this business, and we operate in Victoria, British Columbia, and we offer flotation therapy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Flotation therapy? I know what it is, but I bet you the audience is going, what is that?
There's simple ways to describe it. Of course, you can dive deep into it, but we provide float tanks. A float tank, I like to think of it as a big bathtub, highly filled with salt, and you can float completely effortlessly. It's like the Dead Sea in a bathtub. And you are in a soundproof room, so that is the real trick of it.
And, I mean, you can have sound. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know,
yeah.
The people have used the words isolation tank in the past. And there was this crazy movie called, what was it called?
Altered States.
I have to rewatch that. I apologize out there to the audience. I mentioned a movie. I should know more about it. It's like from the 70s or 80s.
Mm-hmm. It's an old movie, and I think it's one of those movies that either intrigues people or it scares them off from the flotation tank.
You have floated, and you wouldn't be in this business if you were not a practitioner of the float experience, right?
Yeah, more or less. I go through phases and waves of routine floating and then times where I don't. And I'm kind of in the season where I'm floating once a month.
Is that more, I hate to use that term, a more of a maintenance experience? Because I know some people, and I'm not a health practitioner, but I know some people who've had some challenges in their life find floating the only place, or one of the only places, that they find calmness and peace. But then when they get to a certain point, they go, I don't need to go like every week. I need to go every month just to keep me going, right?
Yeah, you can think of it like medicine.
Without actually calling it that, but yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It
all depends on what you're using it for.
I've heard somebody call it mental floss, where it allows you to sort of, just like cleaning between your teeth, instead you're cleaning between your ears. Well, not really your ears, your brain. And you're getting rid of some of the gunk in your life and perhaps the pain and moving ahead in kind of like, where do I need to be next experience? Is that a good way of describing it?
Absolutely. I've never heard of that before, mental flossing, but that is awesome. You know, we're talking about solitude and entering into more of your natural state, maybe homeostasis, right? And you can access this in the forest or in the float tank. And I think it's one of the easier ways, the most gentle way, just to connect to yourself for that hour.
Well, 75 minutes or more. I mean, I see the problem that I have, Marcel, is when I get into a float tank, I have no idea of the sense of time. Is that an experience that most people describe to you and you experience too?
Absolutely. Most people will only float for that 1 hour, but there is potential, at least in the way that we run our schedule, is that people can float for up to 3 hours, maybe even 5 hours if they double or triple book their session. And it's not typical, but I think the longer that you float, the more you will truly lose your sense of time.
Is that part of the joy of floating as well? I mean, I have to say, I've actually got to the point where sometimes I think I'm dead.
Yeah. It's almost like you enter purgatory, right?
Well, not purgatory. Heaven.
Yeah. You said purgatory's bad.
But again, it is to go back to the movie's words, altered states, I actually think that beyond even my brain, it's a whole body experience. My fingers lose their sense of resist. Well, okay, I have to go there. It's like gravity doesn't exist.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Might not be as extreme as if you're in the space station, but it's very close, and you lose the idea of sensory deprivation. That's kind of the coined term, right? Is that the water and the air matches your skin ideally, so you do lose that sense of touch.
I don't even know. Like, sometimes it feels like, whose fingers are these? Whose toes are these? These can't be mine. I have no control. And the temperature of the, can we call it, because it's magnesium salts, or is it Epsom salts? Is that the?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Epsom salt, that's all.
Epsom salt. And I should look up the composition of it. But I am sure you know, but we don't need to go there. It just works. I was speaking to Dr. Roberta Bondar the other day, and I think you might remember she is an astronaut who has been, and I've always wanted to ask her if she ever tried a flotation. Roberta, have you ever tried a flotation tank? I should reach her and see if she has. But
that would be so interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Not that you want to mention anybody specifically who's been in, you know, your facilities, but do people come in and go like, I've just had like an epiphany?
I've heard it before. I've also had people come out and say, I cried at the end.
Yep. Done it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Not at the end, in the beginning, or maybe in the middle, because you have no sense of time. Marcel, you've been in a tank many times. Have you ever come out and gone like, that can't have been an hour or 75 minutes or 90 minutes? That I didn't even, like, seriously, I just got in.
Yep, and I've also had 1 hour feel like
forever.
10 minutes or 3 hours. And then I've had 3 hour floats that might feel like 30 minutes.
I've actually, not that, you know, hey, listen out there in Radio Land, don't judge me, but I'd be like, you know, I was there at the beginning of the creation of the universe, and I've been there at the end of the universe. It feels very 2001-ish sometimes, if you've seen like the final sequence where, or one of the sequences where like everything's rushing towards you, and you know, it's kind of, I think Interstellar had a moment, if you saw that movie, where the world is like, I don't know what's going on, we're approaching some kind of, I don't even know the right words for it. In fact, Marcel, maybe that's the whole thing about floating. I lose my vocabulary.
Yeah, we lose our form, we lose our shape, and I think that is a beautiful thing if you can encounter it with, you know, a solid mind, or less so a solid mind, perhaps the opposite, an open mind, because to lose your sense of form and time, we can enter into a void, you know, and the void is similar to what we were before we were born, perhaps, and what we will be after we live this life. And I think it's kind of the intermediary space we can enter, and it gives perspective when we come out of the float tank into who we are in this body. We can live our lives. It's kind of like that. You can become born again after a float. It's a very simple thing that can happen in an hour and can be profound.
Totally. In fact, I've never really thought about it till just now. The whole float system is very sort of uterine, very sort of birthy kind of, because you've just blown my mind one more time.
Yeah, I love when people mention that. They come out and they're like, you know, it's just like being in the womb. It's such a great analogy to it.
I want to go to the mechanics of the system that you deliver. I mean, there wasn't a float house or a float experience in, there might have been in Victoria because it's kind of West Coasty, but you deliver like an incredible service. The house coats are beautiful. The floors are immaculate. The tanks are spectacular, like shiny, clean. The teas that you offer from our friends down the street, Daniela, all of it. Like, who thought all this through and made it so it's near perfect?
Yeah, thanks for your perspective on the spot. Eric, the owner, he's been running it like very, very solo. You know, he's kind of been the guy to run it for 10 years. And I'm glad to be a part of it now. And, you know, it's also being a whole team experience. We've always had so many people come and go with the staff. And it works better with 15 minds kind of helping to improve the experience, right? And of course, the float industry is so big, we kind of get ideas from other places as to, you know, how's the proper way to run this? What kind of things do you need for people to just feel absolutely at home and comfortable and have the things they need?
Well, but I can't believe
it's so critical.
Really? I can't believe it's 10 years because the facility looks pristine, perfect. And then West Shore. So if somebody really knows Vancouver Island, if they know Greater Victoria, if such a concept exists, Western Communities, when did that come about? Because if 10 years on Fiskard, am I correct?
Just about 10 years. It's on Harold Street.
Harold Street. I don't know why I think Fiskard. I probably park on Fiskard or walk over. How long has West Shore been open?
About 5 years.
They look identical. They look like twinsies.
Yeah. Yeah, same build. It's a different space. You know, the downtown location is in a heritage building. It's got that longer concept.
Exposed
the West
bricks.
Shore.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But the quality of what's delivered is equal.
Yeah, and you can probably appreciate the minimalism of the spaces too, right? There's not a whole lot going on, which I think kind of is an aspect of our float center that brings people into their simplicity.
We arrive at the door, you shed your shoes, hopefully you shed everything that you came with, all the baggage of the day and the week and the month, and you might have a drink. You certainly might use the facilities, the bathroom beforehand, just to make sure that, you know, everything's good. Then you take a shower.
Yeah, we call it the pre-float shower. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said when you arrive, you hopefully leave your baggage out, but you could also consider the pre-float shower as that pre-float cleanse, you know, of mental, spiritual, physical. Of course, that's important.
The showers are gorgeous. The whole facility, the minute you get into the, do you call it a unit? The minute you get into the space, you close the door and it becomes your space, and you have this great shower, and the temperatures are wonderful, and it's got one of those, what do we call it, a rain shower head, and you don't really towel off, you go into the unit, and you shed your clothes. I mean, I imagine some people might use a bathing suit, but I don't know why.
Very, very few, yeah. I always stress that it is most comfortable without a bathing suit.
Yeah, you don't want things pulling at you.
Yeah, and your stuff will get extremely salty, and I don't think you want to be washing that.
And so then you enter, and you kind of, because you kind of don't float at the beginning when you first get in and sit down or stretch out, but you kind of have to let it go, don't you?
Absolutely, and I think that's the main thing for first-timers is trusting that the water is extremely buoyant, and you can let every single minuscule part of your body relax. And it can take a few tries to get there. Sometimes it takes people 15 minutes or it's instant. And at this point, I think the more you float, the more instant that relief arrives as soon as you let yourself go in the float tank.
I used to find that I tried to kind of elevate my head a bit and it created, you know, tension and whatever. And then when I discovered the utility of that sort of styrofoam ring just to provide a little bit of support, you know, that was terrific. That would like changed my world. I don't know why I've never used it before, but it always seemed kind of odd, but it works. But you know, Marcel, it's my hands and arms. I never quite know what to do with them, and I think it's different every time. Sometimes you wrap your hands behind your head, sometimes you put them at the side, sometimes you put them on your chest. What do you do?
My main float position has been down, palms down by my sides. Now, I used to float a lot with my hands up above my head, with my palms up, and I still do that sometimes. So I suggest to people find the path of least resistance, don't stress about being perfectly still in the same position your entire time. Just gotta go with the flow.
I find I take a face cloth in. I don't remember who first recommended that. Sometimes you just get a little itch, or you get a little salt like on your cheek, or for those of us who maybe are a little follically challenged, you get a little itch on the top of your head, and before you know it, you've got a drip of moisture somewhere where it shouldn't be. And so I keep a little face. Did a lot of people do that?
Yep, that's one of our most important tips to people. And if you're floating anywhere else in the world, I would suggest you dry your face well before you go in the float tank and you bring something in there. Some float centers do have a little spray bottle that you can use in case you get salt in your eyes. We approach it with dry your face and don't touch your face during the float.
So hard to do.
Prevention.
Hard to do. We touch our faces hundreds of times every day.
Yeah.
So what about, you know, there are other places where moisture can get in ears. I know I do have a set of earplugs, but I mean, a lot of people who are first timers don't. So you have disposable earplugs?
We offer disposable earplugs, but most people opt for our first pair free. They're reusable earplugs and people love them. They'll sleep with them, use them to blot out their kids at home, use them for travel or sleep, yes.
It makes a big difference. I found once things weren't working very well and I took them out. I would say generally that using them is a plus.
It's a recommendation, yeah. I've floated quite a few times without them. And I went to the float conference last summer and I got to talk to some interesting old timers who floated, you know, for decades. And there was two older guys I had talked to that just swear by not wearing earplugs, and they explain that it somehow gives a different experience.
I would agree with them, and probably I'm one of the old guys who would say that. Marcel, I want to go back in time. Float conference? Like there's an industry float conference where you would go and share ideas? Like there'd be a keynote speaker, there'd be workshops and seminars?
Absolutely, yes. It's hosted every year in various states in America. I don't think they've ever hosted it in Canada. I wish they did. But yeah, they release the location, you buy your tickets, you can host a table there. So you mentioned the foam head support. And I'll tell you something interesting is Eric, the owner of Float House Victoria in West Shore, he, shortly after opening the first location downtown, he started a side business selling those float halos. So he gets them manufactured and he brands them and he ships them to float centers worldwide. So if you go to float centers, probably most of them in the world, they'll have Eric's, he calls it Float Ease. Floaties.
Got it. Float halo
as well.
Most
float centers will have them. Huh. Yeah, so I got to go to the conference last year and talk to people. Most people knew exactly what the floaties were and got to meet most people because they wanted to buy them.
I would assume it was in California. I mean, a lot of these trends come out of California. But let's face it, floating is not a fad. Floating is not... It's got some history, some legs. I mean, people started doing this... Since you've attended conferences and probably read books on floating, which I should. I know you've got some books to read in your quiet area, which I probably should spend more time doing. How long ago? I mean, I know the Dead Sea, since you mentioned it. People love to float there and many other places. But is this... And not every Canadian city has a float place. I mean, it's terrible. We should. It should be like associated with like a recreation center or whatever. I know it's a business for you, but it's almost like a public service.
I wish it were. I wish it was covered by insurance. I wish more people had access to it.
It would be great. It really would. Do people, since you mentioned it, come out sometimes and share their experiences with you that time or generally? And do they go like, you know, this was the best. This really... I'm sure there's all kinds... Like, if you could collect all these, I think you could build like a book every year of stories.
That'd be really cool. I like to encourage our staff to be there to connect with the clients after their floats rather than just letting them go, which is great too. People like the seamlessness and the privacy, right? But it is wonderful when people open up and share about their newfound experience, or oftentimes it's someone who has their first relief from chronic pain after years. You know, they've tried a lot of things and they just come out, and it's that like total gratefulness.
Well, they have to say, I have to say something to somebody when I come out, even if it's just a, like, oh, oh, you know, not even words, just, you know, like,
exactly.
You know. Now, you don't get that opportunity because you're there. When you get home, or do you text somebody and say, I just had like an amazing, you use the word profound. I've had profound experiences. Do you like text people, or do tell people you've been floating, and or do your friends, have you got any like naysayers in your collection of friends who go like, that can't do, you know, don't tell me flotation is like nirvana?
I don't have any naysayer friends, but I do have friends who say they're interested, but they just don't go ahead and book it.
Wow.
But I, when I do have a profound experience, you know, I will tell the people close to me, because some things are mind-blowing. I've entered into dream states that have just like kind of twisted reality inside out, and when I come out of the float or out of those states, it's just like, wow, where was I?
So true.
So yeah, it can be like a portal, right? And to access deeper states of your mind is just so cool that it can be a key to those things, because most people don't get access to these states of themselves.
Don't you want to go and shake some people up and just go, you know, you've got to come and do this. I need you to. Okay, may I ask, mom, dad, aunts, uncles, have you convinced them to come and float?
Mom, dad, aunt, and uncle, two of my aunt and uncles have come in, but they're not regulars. They've tried it and they enjoyed it. My mom was pleasantly surprised because she is claustrophobic. And I use my nice little prompts for claustrophobic people, because a lot of claustrophobic people have a misconception of the float tank, that they are in a solitary confinement, pitch black little coffin that they can't escape.
No, it's a huge space.
Yeah, it's way not what people imagine it is.
Like, really, if you sort of star your body like Michelangelo did in, you know, in his illustrations of humankind, you know, your head at the top, your arms out, your legs spread, you don't really touch the edges of the float tank.
If you're practiced, you can get some very long periods of not touching the edges.
So when I've closed my eyes in the flotation tank, it's like I'm in the universe.
Yeah. You mean in space, or you are in the universe? Yeah. Aren't we always in the universe?
Very good, Marcel. But just meant I experienced no edges. I experienced like it's limitless.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of the cool things about floating. You mentioned it's been around for a long time, right? And so there's a guy named John C. Lilly back in the 70s, and the reason he started the float tank is to understand the mind without sensory stimuli, right? And so he at some point, he did about 10 years of floating sober, and he documented his experience. Of course, he was a super awesome writer. And then after about 10 years, he started dosing LSD in the float tank. And that was one part of his journey. And he wrote a book called Programming and Metaprogramming in the Human Biocomputer. And for a younger person like me, I love this analogy of using the float tank and seeing the human mind, body, and being as if it's a computer. That the brain is the hardware, the mind is the software, and within the software is our quote-unquote self, who is a programmer.
Very Matrix-y.
Yes.
Yeah, I expect Keanu Reeves to... I'm not saying his name correctly. You say it. But anyways, Mr. Reeves. I can never say his first name correctly, but I expect sort of things to, you know, happen? I don't know. Maybe that's it. Okay, so we talked about sensory, or I've used the word, or somebody has, sensory deprivation, but it isn't. How many people choose to have music or soundscapes as they float?
I would say it's become a majority at this point. When the business first opened up, I used to just be a client when I first started. Oh. And we only had the option of no music. So you start with a bit of music and you end with music to wake you up, but there's nothing in between. So you could have the light on or off, but now people have their whole range of options. People can even play their own music now. And we have a whole different sets of colors they can have in the tank. So it's kind of become more accessible to people who might not want the full sensory deprivation right from the get-go. But I think that is the most unique aspect of floating. And I always encourage people to try and experiment and get to that point where they can.
I've returned to the, I guess it's called a menu, where you're given 1, 2, 3 or whatever. I don't know if I remember how many.
Right.
Is there, are there 10 or so different experiences with sound?
We have 8 music tracks currently. There is a secret track 9, which is a guided meditation, but it's not, that one's not programmed correctly for the float tank. So it's a little quiet.
Hmm. Wow. I don't know if it's singing, but that's the big thing about it. Other than, say, the sitar, which is very, you know, identifiable, a lot of it is, it could be sounds of the shore, so seagulls, it could be the crashing waves, it could be a blend of all those things. But I think it's the modulation, the frequency of the sound as well that can be healing, or at least it's believed to be.
Supposedly, yeah. Well, one thing I'll clear up, though, Hugh, is we don't have nature sounds in any of our...
Well, maybe in my head you do.
Well, we should. I think we should. However, I think that would be one to really note from the others, because people don't like birds chirping. Ooh. Right?
Oh, well.
Some people love it. Some people don't.
Marcel Petrozelli, you are the manager of both locations of Float House. Is Float House part of a bigger organization?
Great question. Yeah, so Float House is in a franchise. There's another location in Gastown, Vancouver, and another one in Edmonton, but they are separate ownerships.
Mm-hmm. So, but if somebody is in Victoria, Greater Victoria, they just go floathouse.com?
Floathouse.ca will take you to the main kind of franchise website, but that is specifically Vancouver. So don't get confused, because we will be floathousevictoria.com, and that's our website for both locations on the island.
And you, with that, you can choose your time, you can find openings, you can make a request.
Yep, absolutely.
And ideally, you want to be a member, is that what we'd be called, or clients on a regular basis?
I'd say regular basis floating is the best thing you can do for yourself if you're interested in it, because it's a nice monthly reset, low commitment, and it gives you the most affordable rate as well.
No kidding. Well, if you want to find out how much it costs, if you want to find out when there's availability, if you're on Vancouver Island, you can look up Float House Victoria, find their 2 locations, depending on where you are. And Marcel Petrozelli, you be there some of the time. You're not just the manager. You're often at the desk.
You'll see me there, I'm sure.
What a pleasure to talk to you today and learn a bit more about an incredible experience. I mean, folks out there in Radio Land, I do this. I really do. And this is not my endorsement of it necessarily, but I would say to you, go and give it a try and see if it works for you. It does for me. Marcel Petrozelli, thank you so much for joining us today here on CKLU 96.7. On this program, QOL. Listen, you can listen asynchronously, folks. You can just Google my name and the word podcast, Hugh Cruzell and podcast. You can listen to this and hundreds of episodes. Marcel, thank you.
Thank you, Hugh.
Bye for now, folks.